All right, thank you so much. It's been a blessing to be here. I've been honored, my wife and I and the kids have been honored to be here. They've enjoyed it. I thank your preacher for doing what he done. That's like his wife has already said, and I thank the Lord for his good wife. And in other words, here's what I'm saying. You got a good preacher and a good preacher's wife. And a family, and a good family. I think we need to give them a hand. And I appreciate them, and I appreciate the work they're doing here. And that's great. As an older preacher to a younger guy, and him and his wife, a younger preacher, I appreciate that. To come in and to stand and to preach. And if I'm not mistaken, I learned a lot along the way, but I think y'all are following her grandpa. Is that right? And that's your grandmother. And these are your kids' great-grandmother. And see, let me tell y'all something. That's unheard of. Yeah. I mean, y'all might not realize that, but that's an unheard. If they ever ought to be a strong church in this community and in this area, this ought to be the strongest bound together church. Amen. Y'all understand? Because that dear lady was here with her husband in 50 years or more of ministry. Then these young ones coming in here to pick up the torch and to go with their kids, and then her kids are. I think I met you, her kid. You got another kid in here? Where back there? You're hers. So her son and a daughter here right now, or yeah, I reckon I'm right. I don't know. It don't matter. But here's the point I want to make: support. These grandkids and great-grandkids and the family members and the cousins and all that's together in the ministry to finish right. I think y'all are honored and blessed to be able to be in a place that God's family, your family, has ministered. And now y'all are getting to come in, and the support. See, most churches don't have the grandma. The grandma to be around and help, because she, if anybody in this church knows what it is to be a young preacher and a preacher's wife, she does. So what a blessing it is to have that moral support and that holding the hands up. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. We praise God for that. So I think everybody's blessed. Amen. Now we're just going to keep pressing on, like the dear preacher's wife said tonight. We don't want to say too much because Satan gets stirred. I even thought about that this week when the preacher and y'all decided to have a family vacation Bible school. Satan hates the family. He hated it in the Garden of Eden. Y'all understand? He hates anything God ordains. He hates the family because the family is the greatest unit in this world to worship God and to get anything done. God uses the family. He calls men. He calls ladies. He calls children. He wouldn't have anybody to call if he didn't have children. Your fruit of your loins, that's who he's going to use for missionaries and for preachers and for Sunday school teachers and for deacons and for faithful people in the church. Boy, we've lost sight of that. 100 years after the church, well, let's just say 70 years to 80 years, somewhere in those areas, after the church was born in the book of Acts, and as it began to come along, the Bible, right, God saved one man. His name was John. Out of all the apostles, they all died. They were martyred. They were cut off in life for the walk and their testimony for God. But the Lord used John. Somebody says, well, wonder why John didn't die like everybody else did. Because John had a great commission in his life, as much more as the other apostles had. Do you know what that was? His great commission was not to go forth into the world at that time, but to take care of his mama. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, John, behold thy mother. And mother, behold thy son. And that started a relationship there that carried John. God, the Lord, isn't God amazing? I mean, I'm just surprised tonight. I'm always surprised at how God is so amazing. He knew everything from the beginning to the end. When he hung on the cross, he looked down through time, which he had already done, and he saw his mother and an apostle, and he chose this one. He even said that about Peter. Whenever Peter said, well, how long is he going to live? He said, that's none of your business. So here's the thing about what Jesus saw with John. He saw way down the road. He kept John tucked away, taking care of his mother. But then one day, John, whenever Jesus needed an apostle, now listen to this, all the apostles loved Jesus. But there was one that had a special closeness to the Lord. He lay on his bosom. He knew his heart. He was a disciple that Jesus loved. And the Lord, listen to it, listen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. My time together here. John is the one that instigated, or was the one, it was the writer, I shouldn't say instigate, of the letters in Revelation and the book of the whole Revelation. He was, even after Mary probably had died and John came out, Jesus, he was 96 years old, y'all, when all of this was being taken place in the Revelation. John was 96 years old. The church had already gotten into a mess. Y'all hear me? It don't take long for the church to get in a mess. And the church had already got in a mess. Churches all over. You read about them in the first, in the second chapter and third chapter of the Revelation. And the churches had already gotten in trouble. Matter of fact, Paul was even dealing with trouble in the churches 40 years prior, 50 prior to this. But here's John on the Isle of Patmos. And the Lord tells John, after they done tried to bully him in oil, done tried to kill him, but the Lord said, no, I'm not done with him yet. Hallelujah. He's not going anywhere until I'm finished. So on the Isle of Patmos, where they put him out, hoping he would be no trouble to them anymore. That's when Jesus appeared to him, and that's where the Revelation was written. And I've been preaching you this week, unbeknown to you and myself, a little bit myself. And this is the first time I've ever done this, and I don't usually tell anybody that. But y'all been gracious to go through it with me, amen? And I thank you for that. But I have learned so much, and I will go back, I promise you, and I will rework a lot of this and work it. But y'all have helped me a whole lot. I hope I've helped y'all. It's been kind, I don't like being kind of scattered, but some of it I've been kind of out there with it. But y'all been good to listen. Amen. Now I want to say this to you. In the book of Revelation, there were the seven churches that we've been dealing with. We said in those churches, and we read to you last night in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to read to you some of that tonight. And I'll say something to about this. I want you to listen. I'm going to read this now. The Word of God is where our help is. I'll comment on the Word of God, but the Word of God is where our... Some people have never really fully read it. Even good Baptist folk, They've read at it, read around it, read about it, but they've never really read it. But as you hear it read, it does say different. You see things like you've never seen before. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, I want you to turn there, or the fifth chapter. No, of Ephesians, I'm sorry. Let me get my head together here. In Ephesians chapter number 5, this is what the Bible says. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, I want to comment as I go because I got two or three points I want to end up with tonight. But this is Paul writing to the Ephesians. This is the instructions to a church. And this is what he says, because this is where we understand the works of the church and the family together. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Is that not amazing? In other words, we ought to be like kids. He ought to be like our daddy. It makes serving God so much different when you look at ourselves as His children. Then He says these words, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us Himself, given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in love. Now, what was the first thing? What was the first church's problem that Jesus had against them? They left their first love. Now you see here, now listen to what I'm getting ready to show you. He said, walk in what? Love. That's a command. That's something we ought to guard. Keep our love life in our family in a very special way. For our wife, for our husband, for our children, for one another. But we ought to keep our love life in good shape. Amen. Now listen, that's easy to say. That's really easy to say. But I promise you, in the 3 days this family vacation Bible school's been going on, there's been some of those things in our families called arguments, disagreements, bad feelings, said words that you ought not say. And here we are in a family revival. Yeah, amen. Amen. Right in the middle of a family meeting. And we're already burned up, buddy. Now we're here, we're pulling into the church and the husband said, straighten up, everybody. Are y'all with me? Now what I'm trying to get you to see is this. Love is the key to our families. Love. Now, but fornication and all uncleanliness, now listen to this, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks, is what we ought to do. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now, what he's saying right there, now listen to these words. Whoremonger, adulterer, unclean person, covetous. Do you know who that the seven churches, if you'll study the history, which I didn't give y'all any of that, because it would take a lot of time, not just time, I'm talking about days. But if you'll look, you'll realize that every one of these churches dealt and like we do today, but they lived in a time when they were having a problem with idols and worship of demonic temples of idolatry and fornication and sin. All seven of these churches lived in that era whenever these were their battles that they're having to battle against. And this is what he said here. For this ye know. Then he goes, let no man deceive you. In other words, the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam was to deceive the church. Make them think it was all right. This is a sex-driven world. This is a sex-driven country. It's immoral. The devil has taken over the airs, the radio, the television, and everything else. And I want to say to you right now, sex immorality is on the rampage right now. And it's in all forms, shapes, and fashions. Our kids are experimenting in things that we never dreamt they'd experiment in. This is a wicked hour. Our families ought to realize, and I've been talking about that, and I don't want to go back over it. That's another whole thing, and y'all get that here from your pastor anyway. He warns you all the time. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know the two churches I told you, Smyrna and Philadelphia? They were faithful and they were enduring. In other words, those two churches did not have anything to do with this crowd of immorality. They had to live hard. They suffered persecution. They were made fun of, and they were put in prison, and some of them were even martyred. And he said here, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And that's the command to all of us. Don't be partakers with the world. That's a heavy thing, isn't it? Yeah. Then it says here, for ye were sometimes yourselves in darkness, but now ye the light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Now listen to this. Wherefore awake. You know what he told that church where the Nicolaitan and the Balaam doctrine was being undermined into the church? He said to that church, he said, be watchful. That means wake up. Boy, if we ever need to wake up, we need to wake up to the spiritual things of God. Wake up to the Lord and the things of God. Wake up. We've gone spiritually asleep. You know what Paul said in Romans? It's high time that we what? Awake. Now watch what he said. We're getting on down here. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. Isn't it amazing that we get to these verses in Ephesians chapter 5? The women kind of draw up a little bit. The guys don't really know kind of what to do when it gets off of the woman. And these verses, we've used them to kind of cut up with people about wives, submit to your husbands, and then we don't say anything else about to the man. But I want to tell you something. This is a very serious piece of Scripture. And this one verse sums up a whole lot of the whole rest of the text. Submitting yourselves one to what? One to another. So you know what that simply means? That simply means that the husband and the wife are teams. Are you listening to me? We are a team. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but we're going to read on down here. Just hold on just a second. But we're a team. We're to submit one to another. You can't get anything done if you don't submit one to another. Then here's what it says along with that now. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. And I want to say this right now. I want to put this out there. We're King James Bible believing people. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. We believe the King James Bible. I do. And I believe y'all do. I know you pastor and all do. I want to tell you something. What this Bible says right here means the same thing today. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. There's no difference. Right. It's the same thing. Husbands and wives. Right. And it says for the wife to submit. For the husband is the head. Then it says this. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, and see the wife that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents. Now get what it says, because see, the children is part of this unit. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Honor thy father and mother. See, there's a difference here now. Younger children obey their parents. But when children get older and they become on their own in the world, old enough to be out there, and they're making their own decisions, they're away from home, they might even be married, but they've left their home and they've struck out on life on their own, then sometimes the obeying is not involved because they don't live at home. But that word honor means all the time. At all times, you are to honor your mother and your daddy. It says here, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, this evening, I want to end, and it's not going to be a big bang. I'm just wanting to give you some things to kind of end up with. I wrote these things we talked about in this chapter and in the book of Revelation. The church at Ephesus left their first love. What is it that we're supposed to guard? Our love for one another. Smyrna, they were faithful. No rebuke from the Lord. They just endured and they were faithful, just like Philadelphia. Pergamos, they were worldly. They had let the Nicolaitan doctrine and the Balaam doctrine slip in. That doctrine that said you don't have to be as tight. You can be like the world and everything will be all right. Then we talked about Sardis. They were dead. Boy, a lot of our family. I was in a tent meeting with Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. one time. And Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. was a preaching away. And he ran down. We was under a big tent. And he ran down and grabbed that pole, that one of the tent poles. He grabbed that tent pole. He put his arms around that tent pole, and he put his lips on that tent pole. And when he got through kissing that tent pole, he said, "That's like some of y'all's kisses in your marriage. Cold and dead. Like that fence pole. That's bad, ain't it?" So we ought to guard that, amen? And then also in the church of Sardis, they were dead. And the Laodicean church was lukewarm. Now here's what I want to end with our families. We've covered a lot of things and just mentioning things. But there's one or two things that I wanted to deal with tonight, and one of them was this. And it's the church of Thyatira. And that's the church that had Jezebel in it. Now everybody kind of knows about Jezebel, don't you? Who in here's got a dog named Jezebel? Who's got a cat named Jezebel? It's just like the name Judas. Nobody would name anything Judas or Jezebel. Now, if you'll go back in the book of Kings, you'll find out exactly who Jezebel is. He'll tell you about her husband, Ahab. Now, what made Jezebel who she was, and you'll read this as you study, was her husband, more or less. Somebody said, "Boy, Jezebel was really bad, and she was just a wicked woman," but she was. But one of the things that made her enhanced her wickedness was her wimpy back husband. Are y'all with me? Because Ahab was nothing but a whining, pouting little baby. Y'all read the story and about where he wanted this garden, and the garden the man wouldn't sell it. because it was his family heritage. And then he went home crying and went to bed and pouted. And Jezebel said, "Well, what's wrong with you, dearie?" And she said, "I wanted that and couldn't get it, blah, blah, blah." So she sent some guys down there and killed the guy. And then she said, "All right, you got the garden now. It's yours." Hey, that's something. So Jezebel was a mean woman. She was so mean, buddy, that when Elijah prophesied her death, he said, "The dogs will eat everything about you, but your hands and your feet," probably her head. And I'll tell you how bad she was. After Elijah killed all those prophets of Baal and did all that he did, word came to him from this woman, "I'll get you, buddy." And you know what Elijah did? He ran. This woman was feared. Now I want to show you something. Just stay with me for just a minute. This woman was in this church and it had a lot of problems. And isn't it amazing when Jesus wrote to this church, he used these words. He said, "John, write to that church and tell that church that there's a Jezebel in that church that they've allowed to take over." Are y'all listening to me? Isn't it amazing that Jesus used the name Jezebel? He could have used any other name in the Bible. There's some other women that didn't do too good. But he chose to use the name Jezebel. And all he was saying was, there's a woman with the spirit of Jezebel. This wasn't Jezebel. She's been dead for 1,100 years. You say, "Well, what does this have to do with the family?" It has a whole lot to do with the family. Because this is a main thing that has shipwrecked some families. And that's when the order of God's command gets out of whack. When this Bible says that we are to submit to one another, that means that first of all, that we're a team together as a marriage. Even the kids are involved in this, to be honest with you. But in the leadership roles, the husband and the wife are together. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, you need to read a lot of these things together because it comes together. Whenever Eve sinned, Adam took the fruit too. He wasn't enticed by the devil, though. Only Eve was. I don't know how. I don't know where. How long. I don't know. There's a big thing about, was Adam with her? I personally, as I've studied and looked into this a little bit, I don't believe Adam was with her. I believe it was a deception that Satan gave to Eve herself. And then I believe that Eve introduced all this stuff to Adam. And that's another whole story. But Adam did eat the fruit. Now this is the thing. Jesus said to her, "Your desire after this sin took place is going to be to your husband." And you know what happened to Eve and why she got in bad trouble? And this is why the whole Bible's full. Y'all just listen to me for just a minute. Eve got in trouble and the whole world got in a mess because she did not go to her husband for advice. Amen. Are you listening to me? Eve took on a responsibility of dealing with the devil without going to her husband and asking anything about what the devil was tempting her with. You got to listen to what I'm telling you. In our day and time, in the command of God, Eve should have went to her husband and said, "There's a serpent talking to me down here, and he's telling me that everything that you told me is wrong." Are you with me? Because God gave the family, the man, to protect the home. He didn't leave it up to the woman to do that. And the Bible says, even God said it in Genesis. He said, this has all come about because the woman is the weaker vessel. Now I know, but you just listen. I hate closing this night on this type subject. But this is what our families are made up of. What we need to understand is this. There's no TV. There's no magazine. There's no movies. There's nothing out there that promotes the family like the Bible does. Everything that we're dealing with in America right now is discouraging the home. It's put the woman above the man. The man is an idiot in all shows, most of them. the woman is the Savior. She's the one that comes in and rescues everybody. I'm not putting a woman down. I'm saying the trick of the devil is to destroy the order of God's command in the home. And the Bible says this, the ladies are the weaker vessels. They're more about to be deceived than a man will. I'm just telling you, that's the scripture. Now you say to me, preacher, if I wouldn't do this or if I wouldn't do that, I have to. I want you to go back to that other verse where it says, submitting yourselves what? To one another. It doesn't mean when a woman does several things in the home that she's taking over and running the house. She might be doing that under the direction and leadership of her husband. I've been married to her for 52 years. Now she sometimes gets a little bossy. I tried to get her to stay home. I tried to find something to get her to stay home tonight, but she wouldn't, so she's here. I'm just kidding with y'all. But sometimes she gets a little bossy, and I reckon I bring it on myself. But here's the thing. Here's the point. I didn't say that to be mean. I'm just saying that's with all of us. But here's what I'm trying to say. Here's the thing. A wife in a home, like this right here, a wife in a home, she does most of the stuff at our house in many of the areas that some men do in their homes. But my wife has always done certain things in our household, but she never does anything that she does not bring it to me, ask me, share it with me, and find out what I think about it. Amen. That's where the partnership comes in. Amen. Even though we're partners, and even though that sometimes she's a little smarter than me in some areas. And in most homes, I'll be honest with you, most women are a little bit more up to date, and they got this stuff. Men are working, they got everything going on. But one thing about my wife is this. We try to stay a team, and she tries to remember, and I try to remember, that we're working together. And even sometimes when I think it looks like she's trying to take over, even the devil will tell me she's taking over. She's not really taking over. But here's the problem in some homes. In some homes, the women have taken over. And when a woman takes over the lead of a man, that presents major, major problems. Because you see, the man is the head of the household. And the Bible says this right here. I know, y'all bearing with me. It's amazing. The Lord, the preacher said, take it as long as you want on this subject. Why don't you give him 30 minutes? Why don't he preach on this Monday night or Sunday night? Amen. But here's the whole thing. He says here, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And the husband, for the husband is the head of the wife. And therefore, just like the church and the wife are together, or the husband and the wife, the church and the members are together. And we submit to one another. Now, what makes a happy home is whenever... What makes a happy home is whenever everybody understands their place. Children are not adults yet, so they don't run the house. Children don't run the house. I might think when they get a little older, they might have a say-so and maybe in what they're going to have for supper. Maybe. But at our house, I get on mine all the time. Don't come in the house complaining about what I'm cooking or Teresa's cooking. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to say. Kids need to be put in their place where they do not run the home. The wife needs to be in her place where she's submissive under her husband. The husband needs to be in his place where he is submissive to God. And he loves his wife as Christ loved the church. The woman submits to her husband as unto the Lord. And then the children obey. See, that's all we need to say there. Isn't that happy? Aren't we happy? That's happy, ain't it? That makes us all happy. And then whenever you look at it like this right here, and you look at what's going on right now, you see in what the Bible's teaching here, the Bible teaches all the way to the book of Genesis that there's an order that God has for our homes. There's nothing wrong with even for a woman to be like the Proverbs woman, an ambitious woman. But she still has a responsibility to her family and also to her husband. And it ought to be guarded. Amen. So here's the way it is with us guys. We're supposed to love our wife like Christ loved the church. Amen. We all need to work on that. I say all. I reckon I'm saying it because of myself, and I figure like most everybody else is the same way too. But we all need to work on our relationship with our wife. And we ought to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. Amen. And then our wives ought to be submissive unto the husband. And then the children are to obey. Now, this has been an interesting week for me. Some of this stuff I preach all the time. I really do. And even like coming here tonight to kind of sum it up, our families are very important. I've read these things, and I don't want to get all cranked up on things and start going in all kind of directions. And I know the good pastor said you got as much as you need tonight, and I appreciate that. But I want you to understand something. We've covered so many areas this week of guarding our families. But some of the biggest door of guarding is the door of the husband and the wife. Amen. And if we're out of place, y'all, if we're out of place. Now, I promise you, in 52 years of our marriage, sometimes it's gotten a little tilted. Are y'all with me? I'd be a fool and a liar if I said it wasn't. And you would be too. But you know what we have to do? Go back and get right, get ourselves situated, and get back in the way God wants us to be. And there's a verse in that Ephesians that I read to you. I've read it two nights now. Be ye filled with the Spirit. That's what I've read. Because being filled with the Spirit is what keeps it rolling. And it keeps everybody in harmony. Even our children, if they're saved, need to be filled with the Spirit. And they need to learn about that at a young age. I thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. I appreciate you allowing me to be here. I appreciate y'all listening to the Word of God. And I'm glad to be able to say to you that the greatest place in this world is our home. Amen. And if Morningstar Baptist Church is going to be a great church, then the homes in this church are going to have to be just like the church. Because when the order of command gets out of order in the home, it comes into the church. Are y'all listening to me? And that's where we have to be careful. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've shown us and what you've helped us with. I pray in Jesus' name your will be done. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide. And God, that you touch in a very special way tonight, this church. I thank you for what the preacher and his wife have done this week. And all the other folks that have been involved in their burden. And Lord, their desire to help their church. I really believe, yeah, in all, not just the preaching this week, but in the fellowship and in the working together and the games. All of this has worked together. These families have probably had a very great time together. The preaching has just been kind of with the whole thing. And I thank you for being able to be part of it. Bless our husbands. Bless our wives. There's no two people on earth that's having battles tonight like they are. Husbands and wives are facing things, Lord, just like they always have. And that's the attack of Satan. I pray tonight in Jesus' name for the wife in this building right now that Satan is attacking, oh, so, so harshly. I pray, God, tonight that you would help her. And I pray, Lord, for the man that he's attacking tonight as the husband. I pray you'd help him. And I pray for these precious children. Lord, I pray that you would bless these kids to let them see that they've got the best home and the best opportunity in the world. And that's a Christian mother and daddy and a church. I pray tonight that you'd help us, be with us, lead us and guide us. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen.